It's time for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870, or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
Well, I'm Chris Van Cleve, your host for Rose Chat. I'm so glad you joined us today. We've got a great show ahead.
That's right, Chris. We're getting down to basics of rose health today, and we'll ask the question, what is good soil? You know, I love dirt. I love to dig in it. I love to smell it. I even have a dirt drawer in my potting shed. So I'm very interested to talk about soil today. And I must not be the only one, because we've had quite a buzz on social media this week about our guest. Chris will be chatting with Paul Zimmerman about the Biltmore Rose Trials and their use of Biltmore Natural Rose Care products at the test site. And then Mark Tyberski will join us to talk about the importance of good soil and about a new product that can help us achieve the best soil possible for growing our roses.
Paul Zimmerman joins us now from his home in South Carolina. And he's going to talk with us a little bit today about the upcoming Biltmore International Rose Trials that will be happening in just a couple of weeks at the fabulous Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. We're doing great. Glad to have you join us today.
Always nice to be here.
Wanted to get your thoughts on the upcoming rose trials, and I know our listeners are, you know, every time you're on the show and talk about the rose trials, we get emails and inquiries about the rose trials. Having an international rose trial here in the United States is a pretty big deal. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's they're based on the international rose trials in Europe, and the main difference between this kind of trial and perhaps some of the other trials that were before held in the United States is that the trials that used to be held in the United States were entered by nurseries. You had to be a grower of a certain size. So it kind of made it difficult for the backyard rose breeder, for lack of a better term, to get involved. With an international rose trial, they're actually entered by the breeder themselves. So, example, we have in the trials, we have roses from, you know, Conard Pile, for example, and from Weeks, and some of the major growers in the United States, competing against someone who doesn't have a rose in commerce, and has never, you know, been in a trial, been in a situation like this. And they're both in there on absolutely equal footing. It's totally blind judging.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, tell us a little bit about the process of the trials. The roses are planted, were they planted last year, the year before that?
The roses were planted, our first International Awards Day and International Jury Day is May 18th of this year. So the roses were planted 2 years ago in the spring. And they go out in beds that are prepared. Lucas Jack, who you've had on the show, does a tremendous job doing that up there. And they're just, each one is assigned a code number. So no judge has any idea what the rose is or who bred it or what the name of it is. And some of them are actually not even in commerce. The only information they do have is what class it is, because the trials are separated into classes. There's a hybrid tea class, a shrub class, a floribunda class, a climbing class. So at least they do have some indication of what the growth habit's going to be. And that's initially how they're begun.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. Now I'm told that there is a pretty prestigious group of folks coming to judge this event.
Yeah, we were really pleased at the reaction we got. Steve Jones is president of the World Federation of Rose Society, is coming, and Jolene Adams, president of the American Rose Society, Pat Shanley, vice president of the American Rose Society. Lots of great folks coming to judge this and participate in this. And these are, you know, it's kind of hard to fathom. They're big deals in Europe. I remember the very first one I ever did was in The Hague in the Netherlands. And I wasn't really sure what to expect. And I got there, and they had this entire tent set up, and they had, it was white linen tablecloths, and it was champagne. And, you know, it's a big deal. And it's coat and tie for the gentlemen. I mean, it's a major thing. And that's what we wanted to bring, that flavor of those kind of trials back to the United States. And frankly, I can't think of a better place than Biltmore to do it, quite honestly.
Well, exactly. You know, everybody refers to that as America's Downton Abbey.
Yeah, that's a great expression. Yeah, it is. I mean,
yeah.
You and the walled garden is just beautiful here. The rose gardens look beautiful. So it's going to be, we think it's going to be one heck of an event.
Yeah, well, I think it will too. I'm excited to see the, be excited to see the press that comes out of that, as well as the winners that are announced from that. And you know, I think it's a big encouragement for amateur hybridizers that are, you know, toiling away in their backyard to be able to, you know, enter their favorite cultivar in the trial
system. It is.
And like you said, you know, come up against the big boys.
Exactly. And in the end, in my mind, you know, who's going to win are the rose growers, you know, gardeners, folks who buy roses, because, you know, now all of a sudden we have a far more diversified breeding programs to pull this stuff from. And I always tell people, you know, my favorite thing to say in a situation like this, you know, Bill Radler, who bred Knockout Rose, before the Knockout Rose was released, he was an amateur breeder. So,
yeah,
you know, the next Bill Radler is out there somewhere. And what I love about international trials is the next Bill Radler can far more easily get attention for his roses, his or her roses, and for their breeding program and what they're doing. And I think in the end, everybody's going to win.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. You know, the soil plays such a huge role in the success or failure of any garden. And, you know, a little bit later this morning, we're going to be talking with Mike Tyberski to Biltmore Naturals and talk about that product. And I know that this was used during these rose trials. Can you talk about a little bit about the soil composition that these roses are growing in?
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, what Mark's going to be talking about is actually the official care protocol for the Biltmore International Rose Trials. But the main thing is, and, you know, this is something that you've heard me talk about before. It's I'm going to plug my book here, Chris, in my new book, Everyday Roses, available at Amazon.com. And
I'll tell you, for our listeners, it's a great book. I rushed out to Lowe's the very first day it was on the shelf and had to get a copy. It's awesome. I definitely recommend it. So.
and it is at Lowe's nationwide, by the way, too. So anyway, end of the commercial, Chris.
Okay.
Soil is the most important, I think, aspect of the garden. I akin it to the foundation of a home. You know, you can have the most beautiful home, the most beautiful construction, but if your foundation isn't there, at some point it's going to come down. And there are a lot of nutrients in the soil that are there naturally, things that we don't necessarily need to add dirt to fertilize or via fertilizers. The problem is the plant's ability to sometimes get them. And Mark can go into more detail on this, but that's where those beneficial microbes that I know he's going to talk about come into play. What they're really good at is breaking down those nutrients and making them available to plants. Well, in order to get that, you've got to make sure that you really prepare your soil. So like up at Biltmore, for example, the soil is turned with compost. Lucas is bringing in aged horse manure, which is worked into the bed. Worm castings are worked into the beds. In some cases, there is microbial drenches that bring these microbes into the soil and get them going. It's all about what I call it a living soil profile, and that's what it's working about creating. And once you've done that, now your roses are getting what I call a well-balanced nutritional diet. And just like human beings, if we eat well, we're better able to ward off diseases. In the roses' case, it could be black spot, powdery mildew, rust, or whatever the case may be. So a healthy plant is going to be better able to ward off disease, and that's just going to be easier for you in the long run.
That's absolutely right. You know, we can buy a $40 rose and you put it in a bed that's not well prepared, you're going to have problems.
Exactly. Yeah, you just said it exactly right. And some people think, oh, my gosh, well, that's a lot of work to prepare a bed properly. Well, no, it's not in the long run. You know, I just put a new test bed here on our farm, and I started preparing it about 10 weeks ago. And the first thing I did, and I've got a tractor, you can use a tiller, I subsoiled it or ripped it very deep. Then I went and dumped to about 6 inches of composted horse manure. I've basically just been turning it and letting it sit for the last 8 to 10 weeks. And when I went to plant this bed, and keep in mind, I live where you live with red clay, I was able to dig down 2 feet deep without any trouble whatsoever. And secondly, I didn't have to worry about 2x2 foot holes and mending and backfilling that hole because my entire bed was amended. So from years to come, I'm going to have less disease. That's going to save me money with less sprays. Anytime I want to add new roses, it's going to be easier because the ground's going to be easy to work. So in the long run, I'm going to save myself an enormous amount of labor by doing my prep work up front.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. Speaking of the farm, tell us what's in bloom this week in your rose garden.
Oh, one of my favorite roses came into bloom this week. A little a pimpinifolia, these two are called spinosissimums, or it's reversed. They keep changing the name. It's called Old Yellow Scotch. And these are great series, these pimpinifolias. Hardy is all get up. They're old roses, almost related to species roses. And they have a charm like I've never seen on other roses. So that's in bloom. The Rev Door with the old Noisette is in bloom, one of my favorite climbing roses of all time. That covers a kind of an arbor that you walk through because you're doing an outbuilding. My big old rambler on our shack, Souvenir de Madame Leonie Villeneuve, is in full war cry, as I call her, when she hits that thing. And then Flamenco Rosita, which is one of the new Biltmore roses, is in bloom right now. And it's just got big old cherry red blossoms with fragrance. And so things are coming. We're a little late this year, but because of the cooler weather and stuff, the blooms are bigger and the colors are just intense this year. So I've got all kinds of stuff. But Old Yellow Scotch is almost always first, and that to me is that great spring to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. For our listeners, you can follow Paul online. He is P. Zimmerman Roses on Twitter. His website is paulzimmermanroses.com. And, of course, everybody needs to check out his new book, Everyday Roses, available at Nationwide at Lowe's and other home centers as well as at Amazon.com. Paul, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us today. It's always great to hear from you.
It's always great to talk to you, Chris. Always having fun and anytime.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Mark Tyberski. Stay with us. There's more Rose Chat Radio coming your way.
Hi, this is Jackie D'Elia with Southern Post Journal, and today I want to talk to you about manure compost tea. This is Authentic Haven brand from California. One of the things that I really like about this is how easy it is to apply. It's a simple cotton bag filled with composted manure. You drop it in your bucket, typically a 1 to 5 gallon bucket of water. Drop in your tea bag. You'll notice some of the brown liquids coming out, and that's the manure starting to mix with the water. Once that's finished, 1 to 3 days, you'll have some fantastic manure tea ready for putting on your plants. So I've got my manure tea brewing for about 3 days, and I'm going to take a peek in there and see what it looks like. It's got a great color, it's got a great smell, and it's ready to be applied to my garden. So whether you choose to put it in your watering can and a sprayer, or just take a bucket and drench it into your vegetable garden, it's very easy to use. I use it in my garden, and I highly recommend it. So give it a try.
Mark Tyberski. He's a soil guru, and he's here to talk about making the most of your soil. And if you have questions, give us a call at 347-677-1870. Welcome to Rose Chat, Mark.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you. You know, with a 120-year history of roses at the Biltmore, it is fitting that you would have a line of products to help us care for our roses. Mark, could you share with our listeners why it's important to be concerned about the soil's ecosystem?
It's a really great question. I can kind of give you a little bit of background first. You know, my background is landscape architecture, and I've sort of, through the course of my career, we've understood, as many of our listeners and your listeners will, that a healthy soil will result in a healthy plant. And what I'm just starting to understand within the last, 5 or 10 years, I guess it has been already, is that a healthy soil is actually alive. It's very easy for us to look at sort of rich, dark soils and say, oh, gosh, that's pretty dirt. Well, what is the difference between dirt and soil is a question that we ask. And then what are the components within that soil that make it beneficial to plants? And the answer really lies in the life of the soil, that there needs to be an ecosystem in your soil as it relates to the plant.
Well, we know that our roses need healthy roots to have healthy plants. So what can we do to ensure that healthy root system?
Well, a healthy root system is going to be based on a couple of different things. One of the things that we talk about is soil structure. And soil structure really refers to the physical properties of a soil and sort of what is the makeup of that soil. I'm based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, we have a tremendous amount of clay, and the Biltmore itself actually has a pretty strong clay base. So one of the first things that we want to address when we're talking about a healthy soil is the soil structure. And that sort of, you can imagine taking either clay, as I'm describing, is a very, very tough soil structure for roots to be able to grow in. It's, you know, when it's dry, particularly, that clay becomes very much like a brick. There are other soil structures that are sandy, for example. That's easier for roots to grow in, but it's tougher because there's the organic content isn't there to really support the root zones. So the structure is very important to understand what your structure is. And I heard Paul speak a little bit about that earlier and how he's getting such great root growth. And so certainly high carbon or organic content is always going to help a soil structure, whether it's a clay or a sand, because it's going to help to loosen that soil structure up. It increases the porosity of the soil. And by porosity, what we're talking about is how much air can move through the soil profile, how much water can move through the soil profile, and of course, can the roots easily expand into that profile as well. So structure is probably a good place to start when we talk about a healthy soil for roots. I did mention that, you know, having a high organic content is always going to be a positive thing on the effect of structure. But it's going to do more than that for you as well. A high organic content also serves as essentially a habitat for the next component, which is the biology of the soil. And the biology of the soil, to me, is the most fascinating part of what I now know about what the soil and plant relationship is. The biology is critical to a plant and soil relationship. We use an analogy more recently about probiotics and understanding that the soil is alive. The analogy we use in probiotics is we're all fairly familiar at this point that we have beneficial bacteria living within our bodies, within our digestive systems. And those beneficial bacteria help our bodies to access and process nutrients that we feed ourselves. Soil biology is very, very similar. There is a living soil component. There are multiple. I mean, there's so much soil life in the soil that I have read that there is more life in a teaspoon of very healthy soil than in all the oceans combined, if you can imagine. Yeah. So what we're talking about is our microscopic life forms within the soil that help a plant to access and acquire nutrients that are there. There is, of course, a lot more going on. You look at a natural soil ecosystem, and you go to the woods, for example, and a leaf falls from a tree and it lands on the ground. Well, very, very quickly, little bugs start to move in, and they maybe have shredding mechanisms on their teeth, and they start to shred that leaf up and break it down. And every step along the way, something else takes what is left, whether it's a waste product from an animal left before or a bug left before, or whether it's a little shard of organic matter from a leaf. There's always that next layer, that next step in nature that creates this food web. And that is what makes the biology in a forest work so well. We never water the forest. We never provide or apply nutrients or fertilizers to our woods. Nature is doing that for us. And so what we've really looked to try to do at Circle Organics is to recreate the natural process, to create an ecosystem within the soil that helps that plant to access nutrients, reduce the inputs that are required in water and other fertilizers, and help that plant to be naturally healthy. I know I said a mouthful there, and there's still more to talk about, so wherever you'd like to go, or I can continue.
Well, That was great information. I know that I'm going to look at my soil very differently and how it all works together. Let's talk a little bit about the products from the Biltmore Natural line. We all want the best for our roses, so what products do you recommend in the Rose Care Kit?
Well, the Rose Care Kit was put together in conjunction with Paul Zimmerman, who you interviewed just prior to this, and it was specifically developed for Paul's roses on his in his nursery use. And over the course of 6 or 7 years, we worked with Paul on a number of different protocols to see which products and how these products could be put together to be most beneficial, particularly for roses. And Paul, I think, trialed many different products from many different companies and was, I think, most satisfied with the products we were able to provide and the program and protocol that we were able to build with him. There was sort of a lot of back and forth about what was working and what wasn't and what if we tweak this and what if we do that. The result was a 3-product set that was initially developed for use in the International Rose Trials on the grounds of Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. The intent was not to put together a product package or a set, but in fact that is what ended up happening was that the products were used with such success not only in Paul's gardens, but then again there at the Biltmore Estate for the Rose Trials. Everyone was very excited at Biltmore to see the reduction of inputs primarily. So combination of things, reduction of inputs and health of the roses that these products were being trialed. There were more than 1,000 roses, I believe, at the International Rose Trials. And Paul said the roses performed with, really exception. They had strong blooms, reduction of diseases, just healthy, vigorous roses with exceptional blooms. And the Biltmore saw that, as well as a reduction of chemical inputs, pesticides, fungicides were all reduced because the roses were healthy. So what ended up happening was these 3 products became the official protocol for the International Rose Trials. And then the Biltmore came to us and said, gosh, the performance was exceptional, and we'd like to take these 3 products that you have and see if we couldn't package them together under a Biltmore label. And so we developed the Biltmore Naturals, and we have several products, but particularly to what we're speaking of here is the Rose Care Kit. And the Rose Care Kit has these 3 products, which have been the official protocol. The basis, the sort of the central product, is a liquid microbial inoculant. That sounds like a mouthful.
Yeah.
It really is. Microbial means that we're talking about these microscopic life forms, and it is a liquid inoculant. So what we're trying to do here is very similar to when we got shots as kids. We were inoculated with living things. This is exactly what we're doing with the product, the central product of the Rose Care Kit, which is called Rose Boost. And Rose Boost is this liquid microbial inoculant which you will drench your roots of the rose in. And it helps to create an ecosystem in the soil that surrounds the roots. And this ecosystem will help connect your plant to the nutrients and the soil that are there in that sort of probiotic way. And what that does is will reduce the amount of fertilizers you need because the plant is able to access nutrients that are bound up in the soil already. They also do some amazing other things. One of the varieties of microbes or beneficial bacteria that we have within this product actually pulls nitrogen from the air. It's called nitrogen sequestration. Some of these bacteria are able actually to through respiration, they form a colony, and the colony breathes, and it pulls nitrogen from the air into the soil. So that is, in and of itself, an amazing thing. Now, the other 2 products that round it out are sustainable and organic fertilizers. One is called Spring Feed. It is an all-purpose 7212 is the NPK on it. And what it does is to provide a readily available and balanced food source specifically for promoting early growth and blooming. And that is product is spring feed. And then the third product is summer feed. It is a 442 NPK, and it provides, again, sort of a sustainable and available fertility, but it also supports summer and late season blooms. And then, as Paul said, it also helps to sort of help the plant to wind down and go to sleep. The spring and the summer feed, that's how Paul has described it. The spring feed sort of helps the plant to wake up and then push some blooms. Summer feed extends the blooming season and then helps the plant to wind down as the season cools. But the central product really at work is Rose Boost, and that is that liquid inoculant, very similar to a compost tea or a manure tea, only probably on steroids. Our product has more than 40 varieties of beneficial microbes or bacteria. The colony forming units, we have 13.89 colony forming units per fluid ounce. And so great diversity of microbial life and high colony-forming counts are going to help your roses perform, access nutrients, reduce watering, reduce chemicals, and just be healthier naturally.
Well, Mark, you certainly made a complicated process seem very, very easy and very, very natural. That's great. Chris, did you have a question for Mark?
Actually, Mark, you just covered it.
Oh, he did. Well, great.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love this concept.
I got
concept.
The gift.
Go
sorry.
Ahead.
I said I've got the gift of gab from my grandfather years ago, so it doesn't surprise me that I should answer a question before it was asked.
But I love this concept of a three-step feed process. And you know your summer, your inoculant, that spring care, and the late season care. That you know, I think that's good news for gardeners all over the country.
Well, it really couldn't have happened. It certainly was a conjunction between Circle Organics and Paul Zimmerman. Couldn't have happened without the help of Paul in helping to develop that sort of a program approach for roses. Circle Organics offers products for horticultural, agricultural use, bioremediation. We do a lot of things on sports turf. We're on some pretty major athletic fields, both professional and on a university level. And so we're on golf courses, turf, trees, but specific to gardens and roses, you know, we're very fortunate to be working with Paul Zimmerman, who you just had on previously, and he's written his book, and I would highly recommend that to any of your listeners who are looking for sort of an easy-to-follow approach. You're interested in roses, but you're a little bit overwhelming. You look at Paul's book, Everyday Roses. He's helped to make that simple, and this approach with this product set is meant to do exactly that, to sort of take the mystery out of it, create a simple three-step approach. And at the end of the day, the three steps we even talk about are the result is feed, protect, and enjoy. Because at the end of the day, the gardening should be a way for us to connect with the earth, to connect with the most important things in life. We get busy with work, and I know I look forward to Saturdays when I can get out there and actually get my hands dirty and be in my own yard. And so we don't want frustration through horticulture and gardening. We want to try to make it as easy as we can. And when we go to make it easy, it's very simple if we look back and see, what does nature do? How does nature work? So often we're seeing some of the things that we do with chemicals actually help to create problems. When we feed chemicals to our plants, we are encouraging growth, but we're encouraging growth at an unnatural rate. And when that occurs, plants have thinner cell walls. Their cell walls are thinner, and that leads to evaporation of moisture from the plant into the air, but it also means that cell wall is thinner.
and that means that it can be more susceptible to pests and disease. And so what we're trying to do is to create soil systems and ecosystems around plants that allow plants to do what they do naturally, self-regulate. When do they want to pull nutrients? They know. So let's not overfeed them and create a chemical process, but let's help plants self-regulate, become healthier naturally. And when that happens, we're doing a lot of good things across the board for the environment, for ourselves. If we're growing food or vegetables, we're getting healthier meals put on our table. But we're also getting that sort of enjoyment, I think, that can come from gardening without creating problems that give us headaches and scare people away from gardening. Oh, I can't do it.
Well, that's for sure. And back to Paul Zimmerman, he's certainly adding the fun to gardening. So you can add all these natural products. We've got Paul out there adding all the fun. But tell our listeners where they can buy these products.
You know, right now we are relatively new to the marketplace, and so there are just a few retail locations that products could be purchased on. We do have several online catalogs and internet-based catalogs, Edmunds, Roses, Perry's, the Rose Care Kit, the Vermont Bean Company, I think, does Young Seed. And certainly if you're unable to find them through any of those sources, you can look straight to BiltmoreNaturals.com, and we do have online ordering and fulfillment there. And I think even we will have a special up there for your listeners specifically on our website if they look to order.
Oh, that's great. So just look for BiltmoreNaturals.com and a special for Rose Chat listeners.
And you'll see Rose Care. The Rose Care Kit will be right at the top of the BiltmoreNaturals.com website.
Well, thanks. Mark, it's been so great to have you today. We hope you'll come back again and chat. You have so much information that our rose growers would love to know. So come back and see us again.
I'd be very happy to. I appreciate the opportunity to join you this morning, and wish everyone the best of luck in all of their growing and gardening fun that we can have out there this spring. Best of luck. Anything we can do to help anyone, we are available. If somebody needs to send an email or has a question, we'd be more than happy to help in that way directly as well.
Great. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you so much.
Now, we have placed a link to BiltmoreNaturals.com on today's show page at blogtalkradio.com/rosechat. We'll also update that with any other links or information that we might need to put out there as well. Now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with our weekly roundup of rose shows being presented around the country. Stay with us. There's more Rose Chat Radio coming your way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose Magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the rose photography contest, visit ars.org.
Well, mark your calendars. Here are a few of the rose shows that are happening next week around the country. Now, my personal pick is the one that I'm actually the chairman of, the Birmingham Rose Show here in Birmingham, Alabama. It'll be held on Saturday, May the 11th at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens. We have a very special event coming up on Friday, May the 10th, where we will dedicate a bed of roses to commemorate the 50 Years Forward Project. and that is a 50 years look back at the civil rights movement in the city of Birmingham. You can find more about that initiative at 50yearsforward.com. But be sure and come out Mother's Day weekend to the Birmingham Botanical Gardens and enjoy the Birmingham Rose Show. Also on the 11th, we've got the San Rafael, California Rose Show presented by the Marin Rose Society, the Santa Rosa Rose Show by the Redwood Empire Rose Society. Watsonville, California will host a Rose Show sponsored by the Monterey Bay Rose Society. Also on the 11th, the Tampa, Florida Rose Society will present their show, and the Greater Atlanta Rose Society will present their show on the 11th. I'll tell you, the people over at the Greater Atlanta Rose Society are awesome. We were over there a couple of weeks ago and just had a wonderful time sharing information about growing roses in the Deep South. Now, on Sunday, the 12th, the San Francisco Rose Society will sponsor their Rose Show as well. You can find more information on the Rose Shows being presented around the country at Bob Martin's website, roseshow.com.
I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to hear your comments and feedback on today's show. Just send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. And if you have a blog or website, we'd love to have you add the Rose Chat Radio player on your site. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/rosechat and click the embed button to grab the code. We appreciate your ongoing support of Rose Chat Radio. And you can find us on Twitter by following the Rose Chat hashtag, like Rose Chat Radio on Facebook, and be sure to check out our website, rosechatradio.com, for a full archive of all of our previous broadcasts.
Underwriting support for Rose Chat Radio is provided by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure teas and alfalfa teas for roses. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Well, until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.